What up, everybody? This is Willie Gonza at another episode of the HUD Post Podcast. And today, we have a very special guest. You might have seen him all over Instagram. He's the voice of the people. Here he is, Chris Garces.
Hi.
Hello, hello. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Cannot complain. So, Chris, this weekend, we had the pleasure of hanging out on the HUD Post float at the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Yes.
Can you describe what the energy was like?
Oh, my God. I've been to the parade before. I've never experienced being on a float in the parade, and the energy was insane. The love, the people, like, it's also one thing seeing all that culture and energy in one spot that makes you feel, I felt like I was in a movie, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what was so cool is, like, I haven't had a nutcracker since I was 15. There was people running up on the side of the float selling nutcrackers. And I'm like, yeah. This is lit, dude. This is like, oh my God. And when we hit that Montgomery Street, like down the hill right there, that was like, this is the real Jersey City right here. I'm like, I love this. And that's when the, shout out DJ Flatline, he played, I think, Titi Me Preguntó.
Uh-huh.
Bro, we went crazy. The float almost flipped. It was awesome. And then when I was like, you know, I thought I was like known out here, right? There was people pulling you off the float.
There right? was.
Like, what's that feel like, you know, for your community to love you like that?
Gagged. Like, I don't know. Like, I always think of myself as, like, this kid from Brooklyn. And the world has always made a queer kid from the hood feel like they're not going to get anywhere in life. And so to see people celebrate the parts of me that were made fun of growing up feels unreal every time. And to see that love in person, because you feel that love through your comments and your DMs and you have conversations with people and you connect with them. But like to see that in person at that multitude was insane. Like and it feels like a blur. I wish I could like remember each individual encounter like that, but it was dope. It was
definitely really, really dope. Too many encounters to count, man. He was like all over the place. And wow, you're from Brooklyn. I thought you were Hudson County born and raised.
No, I always try to tell people, even in my videos, that I'm a transplant at the end of the day. And when I meet someone, too, and they're like, I love that you're, you know, from Jersey City. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm born and raised in Bushwick, Brooklyn. But I've lived here for 12 years. And people might look at that and say, that's still transplant, which is fine. You know, ain't no shade to that.
I don't think so. I think he's a Hudson Countyan. 12 years, that's a Hudson Countyan.
But for me, it feels... I mean, I moved here for a reason because it reminds me of home, you know, and where I live reminds me of home. It still does, even though it's being gentrified as we speak. But yeah, no, for me, it just feels like an extension of like where I grew up. Yeah.
You know, what my favorite thing about Hudson County is, and I believe I've said this on the previous podcast, it's really just a blur, you know, what I say half the time. But I love the fact that we're so diverse, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, you're Ecuadorian.
Yes.
I'm Cuban. But we're both embraced by the Puerto Ricans and we're there celebrating with them.
Yeah.
You know? I love that. The different clashes of cultures, the different cuisines. And with that being said, what's your favorite place to eat around here?
Ooh, well, okay. So around where I live, there's a Dominican spot that you could just, like, a walk-up counter. I mean, we all know those. You go up there, you ask for, like, three things. They put it in a platter. Off to the house you go. I go there. Se llama El Sol del Caribe. I think it's on Woodlawn and Sterling, if I'm not mistaken. It's a corner Dominican spot. The firefighters, every time I go, which is for lunchtime, the firefighters are out there getting their order with their big-ass red truck. And I always get a crema soda and a tres leches. And if they don't have a tres leches, they sell a cuatro leches, too, which is also really good.
You know, I'm like the easiest person to get kidnapped. if you just pull up in a van full of tres leches or even just one tres leche, like, yeah, you're taking me easily. I love it. And then, you know, last week we were also at the Puerto Rican Day flag raising at City Hall, which was awesome to be a part of. Like, how did that feel to be able to raise the flag like that, stand on a restricted zone at City Hall? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I mean, still, like, it feels a little surreal also to be embraced by Puerto Ricans, too, because I feel like sometimes, you know, cultures are very like, I'm Puerto Rican, you're not, or I'm Ecuadorian, you're not. But when people embrace you and they make you feel like it's part of your home, because at the end of the day, we are all Latinos, right? A lot of us intersect in, like, not just what we eat, but how we raise our families, how we celebrate things. And it was cool to be up there in that restricted area and feel like I shouldn't be overlooking the city of Jersey City like that, over that balcony. But it was cool. It was cool. I enjoyed all of it.
And you were given an award. What was the award?
Girl, Gay of the Year, honey. Gay of the Year. No, it's the LGBT.
Give it up for Chris.
Hot of the Year, girl. No, it's LGBTQ Advocate of the Year in Jersey City. And humbled, flattered, grateful, you know. It's cool when you realize that people are, like, listening, even though sometimes, like, my social media feels like my little diary where I just, like, talk shit and have fun. Mm-hmm. But to see that people listen and, like, vibe to that, you know.
And now, how did all this start, you know? How long have you been doing this for?
So I was struggling with my healthcare job in, like, 2024.
Okay.
And I just started venting about work on TikTok. And I started to realize that a lot of people that work in healthcare felt very much like I did, and that I wasn't going crazy. And that kind of took off. You know, I had videos that were going viral on TikTok because of my venting frustrations and also how I told my stories, because there's always like a sense of humor to it. And that just kind of turned into January of 2025, when TikTok was going to get banned. You know, I had a pretty decent following on TikTok, and I felt like I was being seen and I was being heard, and I was like, I'm gonna lose all of this unless I move it over to Instagram. And I've had a love-hate relationship with Instagram. I mean, if you've been a content creator, then you know we struggle with the algorithm on Instagram like nobody's business. But I just started posting there that January because of the ban that was gonna happen, and those videos just took off and just ran like they've never run before. And I just kind of, it just kind of changed to that. Like, when I realized I had a voice, it went into talking about businesses in Jersey City that I love, that I've been going to for the last 10 to 12 years. Yeah, just like things that I love doing, you know?
It's funny because the first video I saw from you that I was like, this is cool, is like, you're like, you know, I tell people where to go. You're telling people where not to go.
Yeah.
So I found that really cool. So I remember talking about at the previous podcast. I kind of hate as well, where they're bringing in like these box stores and these big franchises that, I mean, I'm all for a free market, but at the same time, like, these big businesses are hurting these small businesses, you know? We should always be supporting local. Can you talk more about like the importance of supporting local?
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I grew up on Harmon Street in Knickerbocker. Knickerbocker is like, let's say, Central Ave in the Heights. Mm-hmm. It's like Broad Street in Newark. It's like Journal Square for people that live in, like, you know, in the Journal Square of JC. It feels very little box stores, you know, places that I grew up going to. We had stores also that sold like name brand stuff, right? But like they were also small businesses, you know, like Jimmy Jazz, Hyperactive. And so for me growing up, that's always been my norm. I didn't step into like a Olive Garden or a store like that till I was like in high school, you know. All of my entire life was like home-cooked meals or small business stuff that was around the corner from where we lived. So for me, that's important. And I think, too, like, there is convenience to going to a Walmart or, you know, getting your stuff from big box stores. But also, it does take a little bit of work to shop small, right, if you want to get all the things that you want. But if you have the time and you want the intention to be, I'm getting what I need, but I'm also trying to do better in this world little by little, then shop small, you know?
I think it's important too. I mean, because again, you know, you also build this cool relationship with the business owners and you're directly supporting them, you know, opposed to a box store. It's like nobody there really cares.
Yeah.
And also, like, you're not going to really build that big of a bond with one of them. It might be like, hey again, you know, that's it. But it's really not like that intimate connection you have with a local business owner or a local restaurant. And yeah, I mean, support local all the way. I'm a big supporter of that.
See, please.
And speaking of shopping small, where's your favorite places to thrift in Hudson County?
Ooh, okay. There's a Salvation Army on MLK, mm-hmm. which I just learned today. It used to be back in the day called Johnson Street or Johnson Ave. I didn't know that. But I went to a breakfast place this morning that's on MLK. That used to be a Dominican bodega, and now it's this breakfast brunch spot. Anyways, sorry, my bad. I get distracted with food. I apologize. But there's a Salvation Army on MLK mm-hmm. That I love going to. There is the My Unique in Union County, which, I mean, they're getting a little expensive up there with those prices at My Unique. But if you know, you know. It's in that big plaza. The other place that I love thrifting at, there is a thrift store. It's called Gonzales. It's in Union City. I think it's called Gonzales Thrift. It has a red awning. Also really cool, dope place to thrift. And it's Latino owned, so, you know.
Gonzales.
I think it's Gonzales Thrift.
I might own it and not even know it.
You might, yeah, there you go.
No, my favorite place to thrift, hands down, is the Unique on 32nd Street at the Kennedy Center. You ever been there?
That's the one.
That's the
one. Okay. The My Unique. Oh, yeah.
I thought you meant like Union.
No, Union City. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, that's my spot too. I mean, we just pulled up there like 2 weeks ago. We bought like VHSs, VCRs. I got these pants there. You know, I love thrifting and shopping local too, like with local designers and stuff. I mean, I just love supporting Hudson County. What's like a local brand that you mess with?
There's two.
Okay.
There is De La Rue, mm-hmm. De La Rue Apparel, also Jersey City owned Latino. He's in his 30s, about my age. You know, he designs like a lot of streetwear stuff. I'm actually wearing his shorts right now, nice. By the way. And then the second brand is called Commonless Apparel. Same thing. It's Latina owned. It's Puerto Rican. She is queer. Small business. She does a lot of good too. Like a lot of the stuff that you buy from her is going donated. Like funds go donated to like what's going on. For example, like right now she's selling the Puerto Rico jersey that I went for the Puerto Rico Day
Parade. That was fire. I was wondering where you got that because Puerto Rico doesn't have a soccer.
I know.
Soccer team. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah. So funds from that purchase of that jersey, which is only $45, goes to help the water crisis in Puerto Rico. Like
amazing.
Like first view, meaning like the person is actually going down there to like buy the water and distribute it themselves, not trusting, you know, what's going on too, because that's also mayhem with what's going on in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
You know? So those are my two. Yeah.
Awesome. So growing up, what were you like before the fame?
Gay. And gay after.
How old were you when you knew?
Oh, like probably like fourth grade, third grade, when I started realizing like through comic books that like I found these men quite attractive. I was like, girl, this is cute. And then I learned, you know, when I started getting bullied, I was like, okay, like this isn't cool to be gay. So then that's kind of when you start changing, no? But yeah, I knew for a long time. And I feel like my parents knew too, though. Like I feel like every mom or dad sees their kid. Like I wasn't athletic. I used to draw dresses. My mom called me like wearing my mom's clothing every once in a while, you know, the towel as the wig, like photos of me growing up with my hand on my waist, you know, like my walk, sachet. I'm like, girl, they knew. It's just, I think, acceptance maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
so growing up Spanish, especially like the generation of our parents.
Yeah.
Was it rough? Like, were they accepting or were they, you know?
No, I talk about this on my content. No, my parents kicked me out for being gay. Wow. I got kicked out of my house for being gay. I, you know, went through the whole thing of like, how do I finish school? Where do I go? Where do I live? But I had friends and people that in my life at the time that helped me out. So they weren't the most accepting. I didn't talk to them for a number of years mm-hmm. because they didn't accept me. And through therapy and things like that, the last, I think, like 3 or 4 years has been like a 180 with them too, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's also about just, you know, all the progress being made in the world right now, where it's just at the end of the day, it's like, it's wild for anybody ever even caring about, you know, what your preference is or mm-hmm. what, you know, how you want to, like, what's your personality? Like, I don't know. It's always been crazy to me. To me, the deepest love I've ever witnessed were my two aunts, Sonia and Karina. I love you. Rest in peace, Karina. She passed away a few years ago.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. And to me, that was the most purest form of love. And I'd always wondered growing up as a kid, like, why is it that they can't get married? Why is it that they can't, you know, be accepted? You know, like you're watching somebody, like, you know, everyone's hanging out and they leave the room, you hear somebody say some smart remark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I never understood it. And I'm just really happy in the direction that the world has headed, you know?
For now, girl, because the artist cheater is trying to snatch a lot of things from us, but we'll persevere. We'll keep going. Shout out to the sound effect guy.
So the comic book, what comic book was it?
I don't even know, girl. Like, I wasn't even a comic book kid. It was just something that my dad had in the back of his car that I found one day on our way to Jersey. And I opened it up and I was like, ooh.
And what made you land in Hudson County?
So at the time, I was going to school and I was doing my clinical rotations between Christ Hospital, Hoboken Hospital, Bayonne Hospital, and Richmond University in Staten Island. So JC felt like the middle part to all of my schooling at the time. And also when I went to go look at the room that I was renting, which, because I still live in the same apartment, when I went to go look at the room, I liked the area, you know, like it reminded me where I grew up in Brooklyn. Like I grew up on Harmon Street. If you know, across the street, there was a Dominican bodega. And where I live now, across the street, there is a Dominican bodega. It's like a sense of familiarity for me.
That's fate to have the same kind of like business literally right across the street.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And like with all this stuff going on, I mean, I think it's insane, but like the medical center being the only hospital right now in Jersey City.
Girl.
Christ Hospital closing. I mean, that's like, what's your feelings on that?
I mean, you know, a lot of people want to blame the service there, right? You know, I've been going as a student to Christ Hospital. I've worked there. I've, you know, done so many things at Christ Hospital and CarePoint in general. A lot of people want to blame the service that healthcare givers were giving you there, but people don't really want to talk about the real reason why they were like that, you know? The reality is, it's like, I worked at CarePoint for my entire healthcare career. You were being squeezed, like, to the bone. Mm-hmm. And so the frustrations and anger of people who a lot of the times don't have access to speaking about their feelings or being felt seen or heard, unfortunately, sometimes that gets taken out in different ways, you know? And when you don't have enough resources and you spend your time exhausting your love on patients, you start wearing thin on yourself. And it's devastating to see what happened to Christ. You know, people always have these like negative connotations to Christ. To me, it's always been a hospital that serves a community that's underprivileged and underserved. And that's what matters the most. I know you got a bad attitude one day from a healthcare worker. Okay, everybody got a bad day, girl. That don't mean the hospital is shit, you know? I still think that they should open up Christ Hospital. JCMC is feeling the repercussions. I have friends that work there in radiology, and they talk about how intense it is there now, especially the ED, which is already crazy. You know, every Jersey City has two hospitals. Those two should be open. It's the only thing we have left. We need to help each other out.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I heard they want to take it down. They want to build luxury buildings there.
But they've been wanting to do that for years, though. Like, that's always been the idea between, and that's why they fought so hard to keep, even when they were being, you know, closed down or on the verge of closing down. The reason why the city, same thing with Hoboken, the reason why the city fights so much to keep those hospitals open and make sure that those spaces stay for hospital zoning only is for that reason, because they don't want it to turn into like a 500 building, apartment building complex overseeing the city. And then where do those sick people go?
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, from the Heights to medical center, that's like, I mean, if you're depending on what's going on with you, like you have seconds to react to get there. I think it's nuts. And especially Hudson County, I mean, in general has crazy traffic. But Jersey City, it could take you like an hour to get from Tunnelly to like the downtown area.
Yeah.
And it's the same city.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't imagine that like, you know, your life is like there's seconds or minutes involved for you to get help. And then it's like you got to wait in that traffic, you know, it's I think it's insane what's going on. And I hope, too, that they open up another hospital or they reopen Christ Hospital.
Reopen Christ. I mean, it's already there. Yeah. You know, it's all set up.
And also, like, you know, this luxury stuff, I think luxury has a place. I think it's beautiful. But I think that they need to do something else. I mean, like, You know, they're pushing out the culture too on top of it all. Like, besides replacing a hospital for housing, luxury housing, I think that, you know, they need to do more affordable housing in Hudson County, because I think that, you know, they're pushing out the culture too, the people that built these communities. And it's okay to not be from here and want to live here, of course. But it's like, what are we going to do about the people that have worked in these communities, have opened up shops in these communities, work in these communities? Like, you know, what's your thought on this?
Well, the reality for me is I think that people need to have an understanding and have respect of where they're moving into, right? Mm. It's how I would feel if someone moved into Bushwick, Brooklyn, and I still live there, you know? Like, I would want the person that's moving in to, yeah, you want to move in here because the rent is cheaper, but you have a much better apartment than I because I'm born and raised here. By all means, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But when you understand that there's a culture that lives here, when you understand that, like, your mind should not be this luxury apartment that's cheaper, it should be this luxury apartment that's cheaper, but in a community that I need to explore and spend my money on too. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
It's that understanding for me that is missing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny, like, there's a lot of creators in Jersey City who have moved here, and there's no shade, do your thing, right? But there's a level of understanding of be respectful, be mindful, be aware, because your words have power, but also understand that, like, there's so much more than one downtown Jersey City, and there's so much more than a luxury apartment that you live in, you know? There's people that, like, help turn that place into what it is today. So respect it and support them. Thank you.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I think that was very well said. I've been working with a nonprofit called Friends of Affordable Housing, and we've been trying to do just that as well. Like, just trying to get more affordable housing in Hudson County too. Not so much, you know, again, luxury has a place, but we want to be able to help house the people that helped build this community. Mm-hmm. And not only through, like, you know, just having affordable rental housing, but also, like, opportunities to buy affordable homes, like, actually buy these things. So very excited on working on that and doing more of that kind of work around.
Yeah, congrats
here.
On that. I saw some of your stories about you and them working together, and I think that that's really dope.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I feel like you have to be the change you want in the world, and housing is getting out of control. Like, you can't even, I mean, a rent used to be the cheaper alternative to a mortgage, and now your rents are like a mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, and it's rough out here. I mean, not everybody is making good money. Majority of people are not making good money, and we're getting priced out of where we live. It's actually insane. And I feel them. I get you want to move, like, you want to develop here and stuff. I think we have it going on in Hudson County in every aspect, from, like, you know, you could go anywhere in this earth, there's something just special about Hudson County. It's the character of the people, the views of New York. You know?
You know, one of the things that I do a live every Wednesday and in the morning, and I was talking about this on my live. I'm like, the one thing that areas like this build you when you're born and raised in these areas is it allows you to adapt quite quickly to different spaces, because you interact with different cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not getting this kind of diversity in the middle of bumblefuck America, girl. That's not what's happening. You got land and cow tipping, and maybe a sand dune girl. You know, but, like, here you get all that culture, and you have to adapt to it since you're a kid, right? Like, what's respectful? What's disrespectful? How do people take this, that? And people don't realize that makes you such a well-rounded individual, that you can put yourself in any room, in any space. And that is, like, a privilege and a power that you have over any of these transplants that are walking in here, because they're also coming from bumblefuck America, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a beauty to preserving that, but there's also power to people that live here too, seeing. And that's why I talk about JC so much too, is because it's like, girl, if you had the empowerment, if I would have had that empowerment growing up in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and not being told that I wasn't going to be worth anything because I live in Bushwick, or because I'm Latino and I'm first gen and my parents are immigrants, then I could have gone all the way left, you know, and done bumbleshit crazy stuff that I shouldn't be doing as a kid. So I think it's understanding and realizing that people in JC do have beautiful power, mm-hmm. you know, about being born and raised here. And I know right now they're going through a struggle. I understand completely. It's not easy to be living here when you're having your taxes raised, but you're also having your rents and your apartments and all that going up. Like, it's tough, right? But I use your voice and fight for it, because if you want it, you should deserve it.
Agreed. I think everybody definitely has to start, you know, getting organized and figuring out a way to make Jersey City more affordable. I mean, it's easier said than done, but definitely I think it's possible. So what's next for Chris? Where do we go from here? What do you have planned in the next few months to do? Anything?
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't say that I'm, I say that I'm not a planner, right? But I do have a bigger vision, you know, of where I want to be. But the whatever happens from me to get from where I am to there, I don't know. I'm kind of just putting that into the universe and just continuing to do what I do and where that leads. You know, so far it's led me into like beautiful spaces and beautiful rooms with beautiful people, you know, Puerto Rican Day Parade, meeting the governor twice. Like, it's insane to see where I'm ending up, right? Just by being myself without a plan. So we'll see. I'm keeping an open mind. You know, I love being on podcasts. I love talking to people. So having this opportunity too is also really, really cool.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on. You know, we're really just trying to showcase all the beautiful people that Hudson County has, you know, and like, again, after like seeing what I saw this weekend, I'm like, damn, man. I'm like, everybody loves me.
I was shook too, though. Let's not like, you know, yeah, it was a shock, but
it is a little like, because, you know, I'm similar path. Like, I started doing, I was doing music for years. And then finally, like, after, I want to say, like, 2 years ago, I started doing lifestyle stuff.
Okay.
And just started doing more, like, just content in general, just showing more of, like, who I am, my personality, and, you know, showcasing these small businesses. And it took off. Now, I was known in the area before because of my music, but not like this. So now I'm getting stopped in the street, and it's like a double-edged sword. It's awesome. It's cool. But sometimes they're like, hey, are you William? I'm like, that depends. Are you a hitman or are you a fan? You know, because this could go either way. And it's kind of scary because the other day I'm driving around, and all of a sudden, like, somebody stops the car, pulls out. Growing up around here, you usually know what that means. And then they're like, man, I saw you at the ringside video. I'm like, oh, awesome. Yeah, here's my card, dude. I'm like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, dude, thank God. I thought it was going to, like, unload a whole clip.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because the way he stopped the car was so abruptly. Like, we're in the middle. I'm driving. We're going full speed. It's like this guy just stops, hops out. I'm like, whoa. Shout out to him, you know. I love the love. It was great. But at first, you know, I was like, oh, this is it. This could be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have you felt anything like that? Like, any...
I mean, I've had some pretty, like, I don't want to say crazy, but I've had some pretty, like, intense meetings with people sometimes. But it's the same thing. It's, like, nothing against them. It's just, like, how I grew up and, like, always watch where you're going and watch your back and, like, be paying attention to everywhere you are. So to have someone, I had this woman, I got my haircut at the Dominican barbershop across the street. I mean, literally right next door, there's a bodega. So I went to the ATM and I saw this car passing by to my peripheral, like break and like do an illegal U-turn. Sorry, I'm she's gonna be like, it was not illegal. She did a proper U-turn and then I saw that they like stopped. And so I turn and through the glass door, I can see running behind me. And then I get into the bodega and I turn around because I'm like, what the? I thought something happened, right? And it's this woman who saw me walking down the street and needed to find parking spots. So she made a U-turn in the middle of the street, parked the car, ran out to say hello, gave me a hug and everything. I'm inside this bodega and the owner's looking at me like, what the fuck is going on, right? Because he's like, is this normal? And I'm standing there, you know, I'm like, thank you so much. We took a photo and everything, and I appreciate her. But, like, the way that it happened, I was kind of like, girl, what's going on? So I've had interactions like that, but I still appreciate them, though. It's all love,
of
right?
Of course. Like, yeah, feel free to approach me in public. Yeah. Just, like, you know, like, kind of, like, warm up to me. Don't just, like, jump at me because I'm going to be like, oh, you know? Again, I'm from the original Hudson County, and it was scary out here for a while. So with that being said, Chris, like, if somebody had a similar upbringing like yours, what would you tell that kid? What advice do you have for that kid?
Advice that I would give to a kid. I mean, that's kind of the reason why I do what I do on my socials, though, to be honest with you. It's for those people that are watching that don't feel like they can. And, you know, I always say, like, be proud and be loud of who you are. And I think that people think when I say be loud, I'm saying like yell at the top of your lungs. And it's like, no, I'm saying be loud in the sense of when someone walks into a room, right, and they're confident, right, there's this loudness that comes from without with them just standing in a room of like, I am who I am and I know that. When you get to that point where no one can like tear you down from how positively you believe you exist in this world, right? There's a beauty to that. There's a power to that. And there's a loudness to that that I love. And so to anyone that's watching, whether they're like me or not, I think that all we want in this world is to be accepted and to be seen and heard. And I think that when you learn that being seen and heard and being loud just means accepting who you are in any way, shape, or form, you don't have to be queer to do that either, is accepting who you are and being confident in that, that no matter what anyone says, no matter what look they give you or how you choose to show up, none of that affects you. That is loud and that is unapologetic. And that's what I would say.
No, beautifully said. 100%.
Thank you. You know, and Chachi, let me stop. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Guys, this concludes today's podcast episode. My name is Willie Gonza. We're here at Bravery Studios. This is Chris Garces. Everybody, give it up for him. An incredible guest. Thank you so much for being on the show. Guys, we'll see you next time.